recorded. There we go. What's going on, nerds? We are live. It's been a week, man. Sorry, I was eating dinner, so took a little bit longer than anticipated. But here we are, getting ready for the news. I got some things up, so I have to make sure everything's still here. My apologies to chat that we went up so late. Checking all my levels. I'll probably pull this down a bit more. All right, guys. As per usual, we have our sponsor. Let's go this way. Sponsor, that way you can hear me. Sponsor. There is a kind of sort of sponsorship deal. It's not anything crazy. And also, don't forget to do the thing. Oh, whoops. Let's get out of studio mode. Ah, there we go. Let's do that. Look at that. We got a new subscribe, like, action going on. We can get rid of the sponsor deal now. So, we've had some things. Today's stream is going to be a little bit different because we, I don't know, I saw a couple of things that I wanted to go over that are just going to change the setup from normal. So I think the first thing that we're going to do... Oh, no. I changed my mind on that, actually. I was going to... Here, I'll show you. Let's... Do I need the TV? No. You're good. I was going to do this. Where is my scene? That one. We were going to go here, and it's still not up, so it's fair that it's not up. We're going to do... Oh, hey, there we go. It's back up. I take it back. We might... We'll do this real quick. So, this is just a little thing that I've been working on. Let's pause the other tunes. Pause. This is just really interesting where AI music is at. This is the Suno, whatever, version 3. And this is kind of incredible. I need to make sure this is routed correctly so that everyone can hear it. Sound settings. There we go. Just pretty freaking crazy. Output device. We need to go to device individual settings. Output default. Okay, cool. All right, so you should, I'll pull this up just in case. You should be able to hear this, but this is crazy. So I wanted to try. I'll pause that now. That's that you can make metal music in AI, in the AI stuff. These are lyrics that I've been trying to put together for an actual song I'm working on, and I was just curious. So I believe I have already downloaded the track itself. So I wanted to try something on stream just because I think it's really super interesting, and then I swear we'll get into the news. If I can find it, it's in here, and then we go to... No, not in here. It's in here. Music. No. What the heck, man? Whatever. We'll just download it again. I don't care. Download audio. Download goes to the downloads folder, preferably. Okay. And then we, so what I'm curious about is if it can, because there's plenty of other YouTube channels that are doing the AI stuff that have done this. You create a song in Suno or some other audio generator, and you take those tracks and bring it in here into Vocal Remover, and it pulls the tracks out. But every time that somebody else does it, it's usually some sort of like hip hop song or pop song or something that's much easier to differentiate vocals from instruments. Whereas something like, oh my goodness, let's see what happened. Let's actually go this way. Let's just see what that sounds like first. Wow. Even with all that artifacting and all that crazy, it still pulled the voice out. I'm impressed. Ah, but it's not perfect. Because there's still some guitars missing. That's what I was thinking was going to happen. Because the guitars and the vocals sit on something of the same frequencies, so like that's why we have that issue where I'll show you again. We have where the bottom end of the music cuts out, the guitar that it generated should still be going right there, but you see how it has that weird artifacting noise and it kind of swells and has. There should be guitar going on right there. And if we turn the vocals back on, you hear it. But the generation's not great, so that explains it, I guess. I'm still pretty dang impressed, honestly. All right. We got that out of the way. We did have some trailers. Oh, yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to do. Let's go get that together real quick. I wanted to talk about, we have a bunch of trailers that dropped over since we last spoke. The big one dropped today. Actually, a couple big ones dropped today, but we're only going to go over one in stream because I shouldn't get knocked for it. And that is the Mortal Kombat 1 Ermac trailer. So this isn't a reaction necessarily. This is just, we can make Siri rap then? Absolutely. You can totally make Siri rap. So the cool thing is, there are other AI websites, back to the music thing. There are other AI websites where they have pre-trained vocal AIs, and those pre-trained vocal AIs, I think my camera froze. Oh no, we're good. Okay. The pre-trained vocal AIs, I think one of them has a Siri. So if you find one, you might have to pay for it. But there are free ones out there that have, you have free options. You just kind of have to do a bunch of different workarounds to get the music off of the website. But yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. I'm super intrigued by that stuff. And it's honestly kind of been helping my songwriting process, not going to lie. Anyway, all right, so Mortal Kombat 1 trailer. This guy dropped today, and I'm super psyched about it. We need to turn the music back down, don't we? Because I think that's still super loud in stream, and I just accidentally opened up Reaper. I hate it when I do that. Oh, okay. Close. 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 All right. Turning that music down. Actually, no, we should pause it because it's going to go through the same source. We'll turn that back up. All right. So let's take a look at this trailer because this is wild. We're gonna be breaking this down a little bit. Ketchup and Mustard did one, did their own breakdown of it, and theirs is pretty awesome. So I'm probably just going to be kind of unintentionally stealing from that. But there's some really cool stuff in here that I think not a lot of people have noticed. So we're going to... Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. So first off, let's take a look at... We got our boy Movado over here on the side. Right here, he's got the straps. Whereas when he used them before, they were chains. So now that they're straps, I think that's pretty cool.
You have shamed the souls.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so we're going to slow down playback real quick. We're going to go through this real slow, but just the once. Playback speed, half speed. Okay. Let's get into this. Oh, come on. Fight. So first up... I don't think... The way that Ketchup and Mustard broke that down is they made it seem like this move here is like some sort of whiff punish. Technically it is because he whipped, but I don't think it like that's a situation specific move. I think that's just a standard move. I will venture that this is just some sort of probably a single button. I don't even think that's a special move. I think that's probably just a single button press that brings them closer in.
Fight.
Whiff, bring it in. And then he amplifies that. And amplifies that. So that's two bars that they've used already for this combo. That, I think, is the first super... So, actually, there's two things. First is, right here, we have Ermac in a stance, like kind of like the Viltrumite stance for Omni-Man, which I think is not super well exhibited here in this trailer, but I think is probably going to be key to his gameplay. And also, he has a secondary stance, it would seem, and we'll get to that towards the end of the trailer, where he's a little bit more of that green hue. And then this combo extender from Movado here is pretty nuts. So this is probably going to help my Scorpion gameplay, honestly. And Movado has another one that I think is going to help if I can incorporate it into my Scorpion game, or you, if you are playing the Mortal Kombat 1. That's a special. We have that same thing that they're using as a whiff punish, but then... Alright, so that's the thing I wanted to look at closer, is that teleport. That is not... Okay, so what I was thinking initially is incorrect. I initially thought that the teleport only followed, if you amplified it. Otherwise, it was a straight teleport. But no, it appears that even if you don't amplify, it still is honing. So if they're in the air, the teleport takes you to the air. If they're on the ground, which we'll see in a minute, the teleport takes you on the ground. It just potentially you can only combo off of it directly if it's amplified. But I mean, that's still right there. He's still kind of in that weird stun animation. That's so cool. I also like the style, extra style points for if you watch when he's coming down, he's got this just blankness to him, even though he's crushing General Shao. Just look at his face. He's just like not even such a cool character element. And then when he calls in the grab, which that's another thing that Ketchup Mustard pointed out that I think is super a super good thing to note, is his grab animation is almost non-existent. It's going to be so hard to react to. You got the usual grab animation is very animated. This is super duper subtle. Right there's where it starts. Crazy. All right, we can skip that. Yeah. All right, so this is that other stance.
Realms champion.
Yeah. True underdog. Oop. True underdog called out that looks like the Quan Chi leg kick, and it's definitely not, because Quan Chi's is a full screen high that you can honestly walk away from. You don't even have to dodge it. But this is almost projectile style, but it's one of the short projectiles. Right there. There's that move again. And apparently if they're... All right, sorry. There's way too much going on here. We got Movado coming through. All of Movado's moves, except for one, it would seem, are summons. They are not, I can't remember the word for when it immobilizes you, but you can continue to fight when you call in Movado basically every time. Oh, hey, look, I don't have a light on. That's how excited I was to get to stream today. Forgot to turn on my light. All right. So yeah, we got Movado coming in. And then if you pay attention, he calls in one of the souls, and he gets this, like, it's not armor, because when he gets hit, it stays, and it doesn't react like armor. We have obviously no life bar, so we don't know that for certain, but oops. Movado has a low. I want to see that Movado low again. So the reason that's key with Movado having a low like that is because that's one of the necessary things for a cameo. If you're a Scorpion main, that's one of the necessary things for a cameo with Scorpion, is they have to have a low. Otherwise, you have zero mix-ups. Scorpion's mix-ups are non-existent without a cameo. So if you want to try a new cameo, you have to make sure they have a low so that you can. And that's why Motaro is so good for Scorpion, because his low is super quick. And Frost is the other one that a lot of people like to use for Scorpion, because her low is full screen. So, yeah, it's, and also her low is a combo extender. It's just the rest of her moves are less conducive for Scorpion than Motaro, because Motaro has pressure. You can call him in for the three fireballs, and that creates some crazy pressure so that you have a little bit more mobility on screen. Movado, though, with this low, and then with some of the other stuff that we see here in the trailer, is gonna potentially rival. I mean, Stryker has a low two, and everybody loves Stryker, so I don't think I have to necessarily cover his stuff. But his summon cameos are strong as shit as it stands right now, even after they've been nerfed. But continuing on, all right. So we're paying attention to the stance effectively that he gets in, or the armor, whatever it is. So there's that low, and then he calls in a soul, and it gets this like green aura around him, like he's freaking Johnny Cage from the last 10 games. And that move, that is not a special move either, I don't think. That's potentially, it might not be his uppercut, but still, that's potentially just a standard move. Just a fantastic anti-air, which Scorpion also has a fantastic anti-air. So I think I'm going to feel really at home with Ermac, just from what you can see in this gameplay. He seems to be some sort of mix of the ninjas, which he should be, and Quan Chi, which is very interesting to a certain degree. Oh, hey, that was a teleport. That was not noticed before. I don't even think Ketchup and Mustard pointed that one out. So let's go back, jump, and then he teleports out of there. So it's almost like, what does that look like? That looks like, I just brain farted. I can't. There's another character. I think I'm feeling like I was trying to go for something with Omni-Man there, but I don't remember what the comparison was. So we'll just keep going. Huge combos, though. I really hope he hits hard. This right here is hopefully going to change the game for the combo characters. That trap is effectively a restand. You don't see it here. When you see it again later, it restands the opponent. And then there's an overhead from the cameo. Just Movado's just going to be crazy good, I think. And that's a second summon for that similar startup animation. So the first one, it holds him upside down. Do we see it here? No. It was a second ago. But this one, instead of, it's a longer startup. Looks like that's the more powerful version. Oh yeah, and then we get the reptile stuff. So we have, there is other information in here that we kind of skipped by, but because this is the big stuff. So this is the heavy implication that we're going to be getting new moves for existing characters in this next update. And it starts in the, like I said, the big ones are here with Reptile. So the first one, those combos are just so flashy. Oh, this is the third one that starts with that animation. His back grab, apparently. There's the first new move for Reptile. He goes into that tail swing and turns invisible, but it's not like a proper invisibility. It's just him turning invisible for a second. So is that him summoning a cameo, or does he just cancel out and he gains a brief moment of invisibility? That still remains to be seen, but that's new because he can't currently do that with Reptile. So he goes up for the tail and then turns invisible for a second, but just a second. And then the other one is here. This is not a move that he currently has. It's a acid projectile, where right now the projectile ends here. This is a full screen acid projectile. So are they changing the existing acid, or are they just adding to his moveset? That is the question, it would seem. And I'm really going to dig that teleport anti-air. Just super awesome. See, that's the other animation where they hold him upside down. And then this is where we see this move be a restand. I don't remember Ermac ever having teleport capabilities. And now tearing it up with teleports. Overhead. Command grab. Just super strong. Oh, and then that's the other one is, I forget what they called this. But it's basically punish moves, right? Because so he blocks this and he gets the timing right. Because you see Ermac flash. So that means he burned one bar of meter to do this, whatever he's doing, or at least a bar of meter. And right here. So you get is it a knockdown for every cameo? Is it just Movado? Because I don't think this is going to be a Movado-specific moves instance. Whiffs the teleport. See, I think that's his uppercut. All of this stuff is so, so swaggy. And then we don't care about the rest because it's gonna be super bloody anyway, so we might get dinged for it. But that's crazy awesome. And I have been completely ignoring chat, and I apologize. Thoughts on the Joker 2 trailer? That's where we were going next, sir. You just started a YouTube channel. That's awesome, Chris. That's really cool. Are you doing the horror stuff like you were doing before on your TikTok, or did you start doing like filmmaking stuff? Because I think either of those is a great opportunity for you. So while I might be frozen again. I'm frozen. All right, let's fix that real quick, and then we'll start talking about other news. But we can talk about what the heck? Where did it go? There it is. Okay. Back up. So Joker trailer, Folia did. So the rumors about it being a musical seem to be unfounded, which I think is good. I bet they have something up here for it because it just went up. So I'm sure they covered it and I just haven't refreshed the page. No. Ew, look at that. I really dig the cinematography. Like that's kind of to be expected considering what the first movie was. I'm super curious about how they're going to change Harley because she is a patient. Are we at Arkham? Is that the... That's where we left off, right? Is he's at Arkham Asylum, right? So she's a patient at Arkham instead of a doctor at Arkham who he just twists her brain. So that's very interesting change. I don't know if it's for the better or not, but either way, it definitely does the trick. It's a trailer that works. There was another big trailer that dropped this week and I can't remember what it was. So when I think about it, or if anyone in chat can think about it. Yeah. Horror stuff, longer content though. Good. Yeah. If you can keep your timing to roughly at least 10 minutes long. I mean, 8 minutes is the minimum once you get to the point where you can monetize. But if you keep roughly 10 minutes long, like that's the all the YouTube advice channels and stuff say just make the content that your heart, you know, that you want to make, but there's a little bit more to it than that. If you can find a way to make quality content that is at least 8 to 10 minutes long, I mean, generally speaking, 20 minutes is a good shot, considering it, you're doing the horror news, if I remember right. So 20 minutes is a good length for a news show. If you take a look at Spawn Wave, you take a look at Philip DeFranco, you take a look at any of the other more succinct, like headline style news shows, or Game Linked, Tech Linked, those are always around about 10 to 12 minutes. Then that kind of gives you an idea of the space that you're in. So you can, even though that's not the same content you're covering, that's still the same format you're using. So adapt that format to your content, and I think you'll be doing good. Anyway, let's get into news. Like I said, we'll get into whatever that other trailer was that I'm brain farting when I can remember it, or if we come across it in the headlines. But the big one that is on the thumbnail and everything is Silver Surfer. So this is a Silver Surfer that exists. Julia Garner, she was in, if you recognize her face and you don't know why, she was in Ozark. She's been in a couple other things, but the big thing that I can think of is Ozark. She was one of the rednecks Ozark right there. Shalabal is the version of the Silver Surfer that she's playing. This is a real female version of the Silver Surfer that did exist in the Marvel comic book universe, MCBU. But only for like a limited run, so a run that is less than 8 issues long, and was critically and panned by the fans and by critics. Sorry, I'm losing my vocabulary. Panned by the fans and by the critics for, because it was just bad. It was not a good story. lover of the real Silver Surfer, Norrin Rad. Yes. The rumor that we talked about previously, like they say here in the article, is that it was supposed to be Anya Taylor-Joy. Comic books, Norrin Rad makes a deal with Galactus to save his planet by becoming his herald. So in the MCU, which I'm really don't feel like saying the she like everyone insists on calling it these days, because eventually it will get fixed, I'm sure of it. What could happen with the roles reversed is where Shalabal attempts to save her man and becomes the herald of the big G. Yeah. Rumors also say that Vanessa Kirby's Sue Storm is miserable in the movie because she's married to Pedro Pascal's Reed Richards, who is holding her back. Yeah, that was a rumor that we didn't cover just because, like, content, it's a difficult line that I like to try and walk when it comes to the rumor mill, because this stuff at the speculation of what the movie's going to be, until they're in production, there is absolutely no way we can corroborate. And they're not, I mean, I think they're in production now, but when this rumor was circulating, it was before actual production had started. So it was somebody said they read a script somewhere, and that's where that information came from. It was like, yeah, anyone could put words on a piece of paper and call it the Fantastic Four script. And it's too loosey-goosey. There's no way to confirm or deny any of that information. So it's a waste of my time to cover it, because it's purely speculation on somebody else's part. If we're going to cover speculation on the channel, we're going to cover what I suspect is going to happen, because it's my channel and not somebody else's. I want rumor coming from legitimate sources. I don't want the legitimate sources speculation. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's going to be a combination of the two. That's really smart, Chris. That's really smart. Combination of the horror news and your own horror content. I think that's really good stuff, bud. It's you're going to run into some difficulties because you're effectively splitting your content, right? So if you, sorry, my brain just stopped working. If you have a news show and people are there to watch the news, the horror news, and then you put out your own horror short, right? Say it, even if it's a shorter 5 minute video or an 8 minute video or something like that. Oh, you already have a plan for the first one. Cool. So then it might go in reverse. You start putting up these really cool horror shorts, short films, not shorts like minute long videos, but short films. You start putting up these 20 minute horror short films, and then you do a news show. Like, you're going to split the audience a little bit. So just be aware that you have effectively two uphill battles to be fighting if you're going to be putting those two things on the same channel. And if you do two separate channels, it's two uphill battles for different reasons. But I don't know. I honestly have no way of telling. None of the YouTube help channels really get into the specifics as to which category is best. As to, I have two related ideas that I want to do on a single channel. Should I do them on a single channel or should I do them on their own separate channels? That is not been mined yet. So you are a pioneer, my friend. So good luck, and keep me posted for sure. I'm very interested to see how that goes. Anyway, back to the Fantastic Four. Speculation on the woke level of the Fantastic Four. We have the Earth X story, where Norrin Rad and Shalabal both become the Silver Surfer and serve as the twin heralds of Galactus. I doubt they're going to do that, because that just becomes very convoluted for normies. And that is definitely what Feige likes to do, is try to make it as appealing as possible to normies. So that's not super likely. Fix this camera real quick. I think we're there. We go. All right. Better. Julia Garner plays a variant. See, that I think is slightly more possible, because we're already playing in the multiverse. To have two Silver Surfers from the same universe at the same time would not make sense. To people who aren't reading comic books, who don't normally read comic books. But if you have some sort of variant situation, that's already been established throughout a number of movies. So that would make a little bit more sense, but I don't think they're going to do that either. I think they're just going to go with Julia. Julia? Am I not saying that? Yeah, Julia Garner. There we go. I think they're just going to go with Julia for at least this movie, maybe have some sort of transition at some point, either at the end of this movie or somewhere down the road, or she'll just be the MCU Silver Surfer, because Kevin Feige will have the argument of, well, it's in the comics, and you guys always say that if we're going to change something, then it should be something similar to what happens in the comics, so I win. And that's not how this argument works. Fantastic Four gets released July 25th, blah, blah, blah. All right, so the rest of that we already know. So yeah, big, super crazy situation with Fantastic Four. Very interested to see where that goes. I still hold out the hope every time something like this happens that this change will be irrelevant to the fact that it's a good movie. Just because they did this doesn't automatically make it a bad movie. It's when they make this the point of the movie, that's when it becomes a bad movie. Because you can still tell a good story that is similar to things that have happened in the comic books if you change a couple of key things. They don't generally do that, but it is possible. Craig Gillespie in talks to direct Supergirl, don't care. Hasbro. The Transformers back in theaters. The original 1984 movie. Hasbro has announced it is rolling out the Transformers 40th anniversary in theaters with limited screenings of episodes from the classic. Oh, it's episodes. It's not the movie. 1984 animated series, which is my bread and butter. Transformers and He-Man. Yeah, that was my childhood. Screenings will be available in select cinemas across the US, UK, and Mexico, along with select territories in Europe, Latin America, and Asia on May 15th. Go to Transformers40thCinemaEvent.com starting tomorrow to get tickets. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome. We have, what is that? Details include fans look forward to an exclusive behind-the-scenes table read featuring some of the Transformers' original voiceover talent, including Peter Cullen, original voice of Optimus Prime, and Frank Welker, two classic voice actors. Original voice of Megatron will appear on a split screen for the pilot episode. That is freaking awesome. More than meets the eye, part one, followed by traditional screening of the next three episodes of the series. That's cool. That's super cool. I am afraid I'm going to miss it, unfortunately, but that's still pretty dang awesome. Not gonna lie. All right, so there was the next one, I think, is the other big one I want to talk about as far as movies. Yep, there it is. Iceberg breakdowns, urban legends, etc. So, like, a little bit forever. That's pretty cool, dude. Yeah. Too bad it's not the Transformers, right? The Transformers OG movie, that, I think, I would try and a little bit harder to make happen. Honestly, it would be a little bit more priority to see the movie in theaters, because I don't think I've ever seen the movie in a theater. I've only seen it. I had the VHS when I was a kid, and that's probably it. Honestly, maybe my cousin had it at some point too. Either way, I wish it was, but it's still, they're making up for it by having Welker and Cullen do the split screen reading for the first episode. I think that's pretty damn amazing. Not going to lie. All right. So Matrix 5 is apparently happening. Matrix movie in development from Drew Goddard. I saw this and about pooped myself. There was a rumor of this like 2 weeks ago that I honestly didn't even cover, because I was like, no way in hell are they trying to do this again. But then like Pop Culture Crisis picked it up. And so I was like, maybe there is something to it. And then I've been gone for a week, so apparently a little bit more has come out since I left. So let's get into this real quick. In a surprise announcement, Warner Brothers has announced Drew Goddard developing a fifth Matrix movie. I am drawing a blank as to who the hell Drew Goddard is. So let's go look him up off screen. Wikipedia. Drew Goddard, American screenwriter and director. What is your filmography, sir? Okay, so Drew Goddard did Cloverfield. Oh, he's the original Cloverfield director and World War Z. Okay. The Martian, also a fantastic movie. World War Z, not a fantastic movie, but a good movie. The Cabin in the Woods is kind of a horror classic at this point, I feel like. So that's interesting. Oh, but he didn't direct Cloverfield. He was the writer on Cloverfield. Sorry, I'm not reading this graph correctly. He wrote Cloverfield, Cabin in the Woods, World War Z, The Martian, Bad Times at the El Royale, and this Matrix movie. He is the director for Cabin in the Woods, which again, horror classic at this point, and then also directed Bad Times at the El Royale plus this Matrix movie. Did some work on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Alias, so he worked with Joss Whedon a lot, it would seem. Also did some work with, I'm going to brain fart. Let's, J.J. Abrams, there we go, sorry. Did some work with J.J. Abrams on Lost. He worked on the Netflix Daredevil. These are all writing credits, though. He directed a couple episodes of The Good Place. And that's it as far as TV work goes. So not the biggest resume as far as directing goes, but still okay. Details are slim, but it is known original co-writer and co-director Lana Wachowski is executive producing this new film. So Lana was the Wachowski that did Matrix 4, Resurrections. I forget what the other Wachowski's name is these days, and I apologize. So the other sister didn't have anything to do with 4, but I believe it was split between the two of them when they did the original trilogy. So that would explain why some of the messaging was probably a little mucked up in Matrix 4. Lana Wachowski recently directed and wrote Matrix Resurrections, which was released in 2021. Speaking of returning, it is presently unknown if Keanu Reeves, Carrie-Anne Moss, Lawrence Fishburne, Hugo Weaving, and Jada Pinkett Smith are coming back for the fifth film. Plot details are also unknown, as would be expected, because I'm sure a script is still in the works. Which is why I don't like to talk about speculation when it comes from somebody else. But this is not speculation. This is going over all of the hard facts. So Drew Goddard producing with partner Sarah Esberg, who did Moonlight and If Beale Street Could Talk, via their Goddard Textiles production company. Jesse Ehrman, Warner Brothers Motion Pictures President of Production, said in a statement, "Drew came to Warner Brothers with a new idea that we all believe would be incredible, an incredible way to continue the Matrix world, both honoring what Lana and Lily," there you go, that's the other Wachowski, "began over 25 years ago and offering a unique perspective based on his own love of the series and characters. Entire team at Warner Brothers Discovery is thrilled for Drew to be making this new Matrix film, adding his vision to the cinematic canon of the Wachowskis spent a quarter of a century building here at the studio." So that almost implies it's just going to be in the universe of the Matrix, and it's probably not going to be directly related to the last 4 movies. It's not hyperbole, Goddard said, to say the Matrix films changed both cinema and my life. Lana and Lily's exquisite artistry inspired me on a daily basis, and I'm beyond grateful for the chance to tell stories in their world. Yeah, see, again, implies that we're going to be seeing something other than a story related to Neo. So, directly related to Neo, because I feel like the kind of Matrix franchise revolves around Neo. So you have to have Neo in there at some point. And after the 4th movie, that kind of necessitates the need for Carrie-Anne Moss, because you have to have Neo and Trinity. So, yeah, very interesting situation going on here. Goddard was actually rumored to tackle Marvel Spider-Man 4 starring Tom Holland. Doesn't seem to be happening. Matrix 5 on track. Interesting. Almost $2 billion between the Matrix movies worldwide. No, I dug it. We've talked about it. Actually, you're fairly new to the channel, not to the fandom. I apologize. Fairly new to the channel, so you might not have seen. I really dug the 4th Matrix movie. I really, really did. I feel like the messaging that Lana was trying to do was a little ill-founded, and definitely she mucked up what she was attempting to do, because, and I think we got into this on the That Just Happened show that I did right after seeing it. But the idea was to tell a quote unquote trans story, right? So implying some sort of non-binary conclusion, and she took it from a universal there is the one and turned it into a binary conclusion, because you need Neo and Trinity for things to work properly. So it's a male figure and a female figure. There is no trans element to the story at all, and it reinforces binaries. So I think while I while I liked that, while I did think that was an interesting change to how the original system worked, we're in a new system. This new system has a binary. That made a lot of sense. It wasn't the message that they were trying to get across, and it still makes me laugh, obviously. But I really, the thing that I loved the most about that is the change in, because it's something that's, it's a recurring theme here on the channel, is the way that we deal with artificial life in science fiction stories. One of the big things about Luke and basically all of the Skywalkers in the Star Wars movies is they treat droids like they're people. They treat them with the respect that they effectively earn because they are just as useful, just as valuable, just as dynamic as a person in that universe. So anytime we get something like that, I think it's super interesting thing to, it is a super interesting thing to explore. They really, really got into that with the Animatrix, those 9 short films that they released, years and years ago. That makes me sound very old. But like that's one of the driving things that I thought was so compelling about those movies was their stories inside the universe, but it's a lot of different takes on how you deal with artificial intelligence and artificial life. And I just think that's such an interesting topic that I really, really dug what they did with the fourth movie, because it really expanded on that in that universe in a very unique way, because it took into consideration what the artificial life wanted, right? It took into consideration that some of the robots wanted to help the people, wanted to live in harmony with the people, didn't want to use them as batteries, wanted to figure out ways that they could coexist. And I think that's super, super interesting. And I've just spent like 17 minutes talking about the Matrix. So I think it's about time to move on. Roadhouse 2024 garbage movie. Why? This is another one that I don't understand why all the hate. Like, is no Patrick Swayze and Doug Liman needs to get a clue as to, as do the newbie writers. That is the almost exact opposite. Well, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is definitely not Patrick Swayze, and I think the writers knew that and really leaned into the fact that he is not Patrick Swayze. But we talked about that on That Just Happened, so my point of view is already known. I can read that article on my own time. It's irrelevant to the conversation today. Sam Raimi shoots down rumors for Spider-Man 4. Oh, this is pretty big. This happened, I think, like 2 days before I left, actually. Gen V Season 2 film delayed because Chance Perdomo, this guy right here, who was also in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, died. He was in a motorcycle accident and died, age 27. Man, he was a pretty damn good actor too. So it's really a tragic loss. Actor died following a motorcycle accident on Friday in upstate New York while traveling back to Toronto to film the second season. Not a lot of details are known, but it's reported no other individuals are said to have been involved in the crash. Oh, I didn't know that part. His passion for the arts and insatiable appetite for life was felt by all who knew him, and his warmth will carry on in those who he loved dearest. We ask you to please respect the family's wish for privacy. Yeah. They deserve all the privacy, and we are not minimizing that at all. But yeah, so Chance Perdomo, no longer with us. That is a rough one, because he was a good character actor, man. He just really added to everything he was in. Okay. Godzilla getting stomped on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, to be expected. Star of Thunderbolts shows off behind the scenes footage. Blah. Okay, so this is the other one that I kind of feel like we should get into ever so briefly before we move on, because I think everything past this we've already talked about on the regular pre-recorded show. So, Gay Wolverine. Let's talk. Oh boy. Latest episode of I still haven't watched any of X-Men 97. I really should. I've heard mostly good things. There are a couple of nitpick things, but by and large, it's been nothing but praise for this show. So this will be interesting to see if they actually do this. But the article goes, latest episode of X-Men 97 teases a gay Wolverine and Morph, which was something hinted at by the gay showrunner before the show aired and prior to him getting fired. In an interview with Beau DeMayo in Empire magazine, the article mentions that not only is Morph non-binary, but he has an, quote, interesting buddy relationship with Wolverine. Allegedly, Beau DeMayo may have been fired for posting lewd photos on OnlyFans. I don't care. Why is that relevant to the story? He got fired. Why do we care why he got fired unless it has something to do directly with the show? So the latest episode there is a scene which shows a naked Wolverine taking a shower and walks in on Morph, who first questions if it's Gambit. Well, it's not Gambit, it's Logan, and the camera pans up Wolverine's naked body as if Morph is checking him out. Is that really how it goes, though? One too many redheads for you, jokes Morph, who morphs into a pair of adamantium claws. Here, need some help with those hard-to-reach spaces. However, it turns out that it's not the real Wolverine, as the X-Mansion is under attack by the Goblin Queen. So that makes it okay, right? So, like, it's an adult joke, but to say that guys don't make stupid off-color jokes like that with each other, straight guys, all the time, I think is being either willfully naive or outright dishonest, because especially if you work in a restaurant situation like I do, colorful jokes are thrown back and forth all day long at my work between rather heterosexual men, at least as far as I'm concerned. So I think we're reading too far into this. Is there an issue here to a very, very minor degree with that being such an adult joke in what is ostensibly a children's show? So, like, it's one thing to, like they used to say with the Animaniacs and why am I blanking on Babs and the Tiny Toons, where the idea was to write jokes that adults would get because the adults are watching the cartoons with their little kids. Little kids only care that it's bright colors and pretty moving objects right on the screen. They're not really paying attention to the writing. It's the adults that they're entertaining with the writing. But they never went this blue with the writing in X-Men 97 or any of those shows from back in the day, which is kind of what they're trying to emulate here with X-Men 97. So the fact that they went that blue with the joke is the issue. Is it a major issue? Absolutely not. But it is still an issue. All right, so continuing on. It shouldn't be a surprise that Disney activists, creators and writers injected themselves in X-Men 97, as Disney has been under fire for doing so for years, not only with Marvel, but Star Wars content and regular Disney content. Morph wasn't gay or non-binary back in the original show. Non-binary didn't exist in the 90s. He didn't sound gay, and Wolverine certainly isn't gay, but they changed things to send the message. Sometimes most of the fans have rejected, judging by the viewership... Something, rather. Sorry, I can read. Most of the fans rejected, judging by viewership and box office numbers. Marvel hasn't been the same since before Avengers Endgame. Star Wars killed its fan base off, and a lot of Disney shows and movies have been big failures, yes. While prompting its most powerful IPs, Disney itself also skipped over 7 years worth of Marvel. Numbers also aren't all good for X-Men 97, which couldn't even beat out What If? I didn't know that. Let's check this out. Oh, no, I actually might have. I glazed over this before and we just didn't talk about it on the channel. Let's get into the actual Samba rating. All right, Samba TV While Echo made Samba TV's weekly ratings list, again, no numbers mentioned, I believe, made Nelson charts week it premiered. Bear in mind, nope, that's not it. Samba TV and Nelson didn't report any numbers for Doctor Who. That's not what we're talking about either. Come on, where is the... Okay, X-Men numbers. Variety says X-Men told them, Disney told them X-Men 97 is the, quote, most watched season one premiere for a full-length animated series since Marvel What If debuted in 2021. So it's never a good sign when they have that many qualifiers. We have most watched, first qualifier, season one premiere. Second qualifier for full-length. Third qualifier, animated series. So we have three big qualifiers to say it's the number one, but if you only consider these certain very specific things. So yeah, apparently it's not doing super well, and they just are doing the PR thing of not admitting it. Only one episode of What If was released for its premiere back then, and see, this is the other thing. I remember reading this as well. Only one episode of What If was released. And so two episodes of X-Men 97, they're trying to say that the rating numbers are for the X-Men 97 episodes 1 and 2, but nowhere in any of this that I've seen does it say that it's the premiere episodes. It just says premiere episode. So if episode 2 has similar numbers, then that's effectively double. It's not the same. So I feel like that's really just being super unfair. And again, reading too far into the situation. Not to say that it's doing great. I'm not trying to defend Disney, by God, never. But yeah. And then the rest of this we already talked about. Oops, wrong window. All right, let's go next. Not bleeding. We're going to go to bounding. That's what it is. Let's, while we're waiting, take a drink out of our dubby. Once again, link in the description. If you're interested, you can get 10% off of your dubby. Where is it? Right there. Whee! 10% off of dubby if you so desire. If you follow the link and use my code, you get some yummy energy drink stuff. And they have said in multiple releases at this point, they are working on canned dubby. So if you're not into using the powdered stuff, like G Fuel still does, G Fuel primarily does, and there's a number of other energy drink companies that do that primarily are powders, Dubby is getting into the can game here soon. Anyway, back to the news. Star Wars icon Billy Dee Williams says he doesn't take offense if actors do blackface. Don't care. Silly anyway. Studio Kara launches space battleship Yamato, 50th anniversary. Avatar showrunner jumped ship, will now serve as executive producer on Disney's Percy Jackson. Huh. I knew I saw this one somewhere. So, Robert Downey Jr., never ever bet against Kevin Feige. It's a losing bet. Says he's optimistic about MCU's future. And I feel like I saw somewhere else that he said that he would be willing to return to the role of, good Lord, my brain, Iron Man. Tony Stark. There we go. Sorry. It's just words drop out of my head sometimes. Said he would be willing to return to Tony Stark because Tony Stark is so ingrained in who he is, that it's like a second nature to him. He was born to play that role. So he said he would be willing to return it's probably not ever been the issue of him not being willing to play Tony Stark. It's been an issue of Disney being willing to pay him to play Tony Stark. I think that's the big hangup, honestly. So let's read the article. While many a fan, if not most of them, have long since lost faith in decision-making abilities of the baseball cap-clad boss, Marvel Cinematic Universe star Robert Downey Jr. says that despite all of the franchise's up and downs, writing off the ability of its head producer Kevin Feige to chart its future is a, quote, losing bet, unquote. Iconic Iron Man actor offered his thoughts on the current state of the MCU while speaking with Esquire's Ryan D'Agostino for the publication's April-May 2024 issue. Topics range from his love of his wife, Susan, to his upcoming role in HBO's The Sympathizer. Robert Downey Jr. was asked by his host if he would ever return to the role, as the MCU's founding father, especially now that he had won an Academy Award for a supporting role as Admiral Louis Strauss in Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer. In turn, the actor proudly declared, happily, "It's too integral a part of my DNA," said Downey Jr. "That role chose me." That's what it was. From there, the man who brought Iron Man to life on the silver screen then turned his attentions to recent criticisms leveled against the franchise's declining quality, next asserting, and look, I always say never ever bet against Kevin Feige. It's a losing bet, the actor then affirmed. He's the house. He always wins. Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like he's suffered a few L's in recent years, but that might just be me. This was another rumor that I saw and wanted to talk about. So if you'll remember, let's do the TLDR real quick. Coyote vs. Acme is an animated movie that has been finished by Warner Brothers for, I believe, about a year, a little over a year, maybe at this point. It was shelved round about the writer's strike, that's kind of what they blamed it on, if I'm remembering correctly. And we'll never see it. It was speculated that they did it as a tax write-off purposes, kind of like a couple of other, there were superhero movies that happened in the past that just never made it to screen because they were just tax write-off things. If I don't know how exactly that works. I don't know all of the behind the scenes as far as financials go in Hollywood, but that was how it was rumored. But now the rumor has evolved and is saying that Coyote vs. Acme was shelved to make way for a new Looney Tunes movie. So this rumor is as follows. Why is it that a film ready for release after 6 years of development, there you go, and high scores and test screenings got canceled overnight? When you're dealing with Warner Brothers Discovery, the likeliest and easiest answer is a tax break. But that might not be the whole story. Warner Bros. Discovery might have shelved Coyote vs. Acme with their wallet in their mind while also secretly working in favor of a more traditional Looney Tunes cartoon called The Day the Earth Blew Up, according to MovieWeb. MovieWeb is not the best source for rumor mongering, but they've had some stuff that hit in the past, so not a bad one either. A site's report posits Warner got cold feet due to the performance of the films Space Jam, New Legacy, and Looney Tunes Back in Action. Similar to Coyote vs. Acme, these films employed a mix of animation and live action, but unlike their predecessors, Who Framed Roger Rabbit and the first Space Jam, they couldn't recoup their budgets or become classics because they were garbage. Actually, I never saw Back in Action, so I can't necessarily speak to that one, but yeah, Space Jam, New Legacy was not good. Contrast that with a fully animated movie like Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which had a leaner budget and made a bundle in theaters relative to it, and you might see why Warner Bros. Discovery had trepidation. Fortunately for a studio tightening its belt, they had a presumably less expensive Day on Earth Blew Up to give priority. Doesn't mean, however... Oh, hey, I just realized. There was supposed to be background music today, and I turned it down. Ooh. There we go. Lo siento. Let's get back to this. Oop, wait. Yeah, it is really sad we won't see that movie. That doesn't mean, however, that Coyote vs. Acme has reached the end of its trail without catching the Roadrunner. The source very close to the project says negotiations to shop the film around are still ongoing. That is good. That should be considered a win, that they're actually still trying to get it out there. I think that's good. As far as I know, it's ongoing, the film's writer Sammy Birch said via IndieWire at the Oscars red carpet. I think we're all pretty heartbroken about it. We hope it will somehow find its way home, find its home, and not end up stuck in the vault for the rest of time. That would be a great resolution. I know that they have been screening places, and I think they still are interesting. So there are people out there who have seen it. I hope that I'm allowed to say that. I'm going completely rogue here. It's just the best group of people. Dave Green, who directed it, I just love so much. Will Forte is amazing in the movie. I've seen the final cut of the completed film, and I'm very proud of it. Forte expressed his discontent in the statement posted to social media. Super funny throughout, visually stunning, sweet, sincere, and emotionally resonant in a very earned way. As the credits rolled, I just sat there thinking how lucky I was to be part of something so special. And Forte isn't overly woke, so that's kind of saying something. Forte wrote in defense of the film. Quickly turned to confusion and frustration. This was the movie they're not going to release, he wondered. IndieWire reports Warner turned down offers made by Paramount and Netflix to buy Coyote vs. Acme for $30 million, which is an amount that wouldn't cover the reported $70 million budget. That would make sense. Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. Daffy Duck teams up with Porky Pig, Porky and Petunia Pig, to stop the invasion of mind-controlling aliens, which is a plot quite befitting of old Duck Dodgers. That's true. Duck Dodgers of the 24th and a half century! Scheduled for theatrical release later this year. First Looney Tunes feature to hit theaters in over 20 years. Coyote vs. Acme and Space Jam New Legacy would have beaten it to the punch had things around the world worked out differently. Yeah. Kind of is what it is at this point, though, right? Ba-ba-ba-da. Monkey Man review. Senselessly awesome revenge. Cool. Stellar Blade. Don't care. Visions of Mana. Government broadcaster. Yeah, okay. I think we're over this. Okay, so I'm going to pull up a different source, and we're going to find probably one, maybe two more articles. And in that time, I'm going to hand it over to chat ever so briefly. What do you think? Where should we go next as far as... should we go pick up some news on... Oh, I just found a new source. Give me 2 seconds and I'll pull it up. Bookmarks. What is it? Oh, maybe I didn't bookmark it. That's dumb. It was a horror source and I don't remember what it was. But we can go to Fangoria. We can go see if there's anything worth reading over there. So yeah, I'm going to throw that one to chat, and you guys, you want to do some horror stuff? Do you want to do some music stuff? We already kind of did some music stuff at the beginning of the stream, which is why I'm sending it to you, because it would be different in that we're talking news and not AI. Either way, let's see what is the desire of chat while I read something on comicbook.com. Not cosmic book this time, comic book. Fortnite, King of Planet of the Apes rating confirmed, trailer for Joker. Oh, this might be a little bit more difficult than I anticipated. Let's go gaming. Let's see if they've got something specifically in gaming. World of Warcraft, blah, blah, blah. Power World. Yeah, that would be interesting. Star Wars Outlaws. Oh. Oh, another trailer. I haven't watched this one yet, so it wasn't the one I was thinking of earlier. But Star Wars Outlaw release date in new trailer. All right, I got to. It's a Mortal Kombat headline. I got to click on it. I'm sorry. We have Mortal Kombat franchise. Ed Boon reveals highly requested fire that's, quote, not going to happen. So wrote on Twitter, you wouldn't believe how many times it's been suggested that we make Ed Boon as an MK fighter. Not going to happen, Boon wrote. Yeah, all right. That's right. I get sucked into clickbait sometimes. What? Oh, here's something. Cyberpunk 2077 potential new content updates. We assumed that the DLC was going to be the end of it. Seems that Cyberpunk 2077 could still receive some new content updates in the future following launch of Phantom Liberty expansion for Cyberpunk 2077 last year. It was widely assumed that Project Red would begin winding down its work on the title. Generally speaking, that's exactly what has happened outside of a few different patches that have launched over the past few months to fix various bugs have been found in the game. Although this focus from CDPR on Cyberpunk 2077 is never going to be what it once was, that doesn't mean that the open world RPG is completely finished just yet. Speaking on the Friends Per Second podcast, Cyberpunk 2077 game director Gabe Montegello was asked about whether or not any new content is planned for the game other than patches that would be tied to bug fixes. Montegello. Wow, that was harder than it should have been. Didn't make any promises one way or the other, but he also didn't rule out that some tiny new implementations could come to Cyberpunk 2077 down the road. At the end of the day, though, these new additions would all come down to whether or not those CDPR want to work on such content. So, doors open, but still not likely. Fair. All right, let's grab one more. We'll check chat real quick. Oh, I think maybe that's what it was. It wasn't a trailer. It was season 2. Unlike most video game adaptations, Fallout is not covering the events of one entry in the series. Instead, it is a new story that takes place in the same universe as existing games. The show's creators have previously said they approached the show's first season as if it were Fallout 5, creating new characters while bringing in existing elements from the game, such as there's no way of predicting what might take place in the second season. There is going to be a second season of Fallout on Amazon. It has been announced that is happening even before the first episode airs. The first episode is going to be April 11th, so it's just in a couple days. Oh, I'm super stoked about this. Not gonna lie. Alien Romulus. We talked about the Romulus trailer in the last recorded episode before I had to leave town. But good damn trailer. Definitely does the trick. Makes you want to watch that movie, doesn't it? It makes it feel like a horror movie again and not just a silly alien movie. Because the first two Alien movies are legit horror movies. Alien is Slasher in Space. It's just the slasher is a monster. And then Alien 2 is a legit monster flick. Yes, technically Alien, or Aliens, I guess, not Alien 2, Aliens. But Alien is also technically a monster flick, but it feels more, it's paced more like a slasher than a monster flick. And then Aliens is paced like a monster flick. So, yeah, totally back to that feeling, and I'm super stoked about it. Fallout. All right, so I think we're going to go to Fangoria. Because, yeah, that's just the way it's going. There might be some alien Romulus stuff there. Who knows? Fangoria. Background music, as per usual, is provided by... Oh, no. What is the word? Backing tracks, GG. There we go. Whoa. Almost forgot where the music is coming from. That would not be good. All right. So, Coogler's mystery horror movie cast Haley Steinfeld. I didn't know Coogler was doing a horror movie. What the heck? Though precious little is known about the film, Warner Brothers and Ryan Coogler are moving full steam ahead on his very mysterious, currently untitled horror movie. The project first came to light in January with Warner Brothers winning the rights to the film in an intense bidding war. Now we have word that Haley Steinfeld is joining the ever-growing ensemble cast. Oh, there's that new trailer. It's not a new trailer. I think it's like a week or two, probably 2 weeks old at this point, actually. For the new vampire, the kid vampire flick, that looks pretty dope too. Not gonna lie, I think that movie's gonna be a hell of a lot of fun. Anyway, sorry, distracted. According to THR, Steinfeld has signed on for an unspecified role in the film with Coogler, which Coogler wrote and will direct. Interesting. Steinfeld. Then we go on for a whole nother page about Steinfeld and Coogler, because this is why I could never be a proper journalist, because like, I don't want to do fluff. I want to get to the point and talk about the relevance of the point and not just fill in, oh, this actor did all of these things. Like, yeah, sure. If it's relevant to the point, if it's exemplifies their ability to pull off the thing that they're doing now, then it's relevant. Whatever. Oh, come on. Don't do this to me, Fangoria. That's not right either. There. Wonderful knife. iconic events to release Terrifier 3 in theaters this fall. That's good. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Wild Women with Steak Knives, Amityville Witches. I don't know if I want to get into that. First Omen. Horror movies to watch in theaters this weekend. Abigail, that's what it is. Maybe that was the trailer I was thinking of. This is from the 19th. Wait, no. Hits theaters the 19th. What am I talking about? This is from the 4th. Is that what I saw? Go away. It looks like it's going to be so much fun. All right, sorry. Distracted again. Late Night with the Devil. It's not out yet, but I'm intrigued by that one as well. Oh, let's read this. This looks pretty cool. Christian Bale as the monster in The Bride. Maggie Gyllenhaal's retelling of The Bride of Frankenstein is looking pretty great. Let's not go that far. One of the horror projects we are most interested in here at Fangoria is Maggie Gyllenhaal's forthcoming The Bride, a retelling of The Bride of Frankenstein, starring Christian Bale, Annette Bening, Jesse Buckley, Penelope Cruz, Julianne Hough, and Peter Sarsgaard, not to be confused with Skarsgård. Set in 30s Chicago. Okay, makes a little bit more sense now. Film has only just begun filming, but Gyllenhaal took to Instagram today to reveal both Bale and Buckley's looks in the film as Frankenstein's monster and the bride, respectively. There we go. Let's copy link. We'll go here. What? Oh. Yeah, I don't know if that's whatever. Buckley appears to have somewhat less severe appearance than Bale here. Gnarly staples on his forehead. Yeah, those are pretty gnarly. He almost looks like a parody of the monster because of how garish all of the stitching is. And let's see if they have the picture of her. We can probably pull it up, honestly. What's her name again? Brain farts. Buckley, where is she? Jesse Buckley. Go to Google image search. Googlers image. Right there. That's what they're talking about. She's much less severe. This must be the proper ish. Much less severe than Christian Bale does. Christian Bale looks wicked. That's pretty awesome. But like I said, kind of a parody almost because of the difference in his look to her look. I know that's not the aesthetic they're going for, but that's kind of what's coming across to a certain degree. So, October 3rd of 25. Oh, we're still a little ways out, huh? Intrigued? Yeah, me too. Definitely me too. What else we got? Oh, the first teaser for Bambi the Reckoning. Where you at on that one, Chris? Bambi the Reckoning has a teaser trailer. I think we might be able to get away with that one. Let's see. I'll pause the tunes again. Assuming it is embedded. Yes, it is. Bambi the Reckoning. All right, so we'll read about it real quick. Joining Winnie the Pooh, Cinderella, Mickey Mouse, and the Three Blind Mice, newly christened Twisted Childhood Universe, affectionately referred to as Pooniverse, is Umbrella Entertainment's Bambi the Reckoning, which gets a brand new trailer. Oh, boy. Let's see where this one goes. A minute long, so there's not going to be much here, and it's going to be ridiculous. Turn the volume down a little bit. Maybe turn it up on stream.
Are you?
Yeah. Once.
Oh, he's the hunter who killed Bambi's mom. Bambi's mom died. Throwback to the Animaniacs. Thank you very much. Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, that's about what I was expecting. Okay, good to know. Ooh, gaming and horror all in one. A free-to-play modded version of the slasher video game is coming to PC. Friday the 13th, the game. Interesting. Dude, pulled down for copyright issues. Oh, there might be some legal issues here then. If there's one eternal truth in horror, says slasher icons are pretty much impossible to kill. Burn them, fill them with bullets, reboot them, take down their servers. It doesn't matter. They will find a way back. Case in point, a group of dedicated fans has found a way to resurrect Friday the 13th, the game, which is no longer available for purchase and is soon going to be unplayable for anyone who owns it. Soon, I'm pretty sure it's already unplayable for anyone who owns it. But a modded version of the game called Friday the 13th, The Game Resurrected, seeks to change all of that. We've got a teaser for it. Check it out. Pulled. Is there an update? Set for April 15th release, so soon. No update. That's horrible. What the heck, man? On the official side of things, it appears as though the servers are being shut down on the old game because a new Friday the 13th game is in the works. Details on that project have remained elusive, but it makes every bit of sense that the powers that be would want to further capitalize on Jason's good name. Yes, I suppose it would. But will it be similar in all of the right ways, or will it just be something that is unplayable because it's not good? Yeah, okay. Interesting. Some legal issues going on behind the scenes in that one. And then we are into some really old stuff. So, Fangoria is not the most up-to-date place for horror news, it would seem. All right, we have been going... Oh boy, we have been going for a bit. A little over an hour and a half. So, I'm going to... pause the stream, or we're going to go on hold for a moment. And I will be back in a little bit, and we'll do a little bit of gaming and call it a night. So until then, we shall return. If you are listening to this in post and not on the Generally Nerdy YouTube, if you're listening in one of the audio places, then this is where we end. So thank you for joining me. Don't forget to go check out Dubby, because yes.
Get over here!
Generally Nerdy is the code to use at checkout. There is a link in the description for wherever you are listening or watching. I appreciate your faces, nerds. We will see you later. Anyone else who wants to stick around, you are more than welcome. We will have lots of fun conversation in the gaming portion. And until then, I bid you adieu.